Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And it's been a rough week, Sid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a rough week. Sid's mom got COVID, which was rough.
She is okay.
She's fine.
I feel like when you say that, you need to preface right away.
For sure.
She is doing fine. She is through it. She is better.
But
she is
symptom-free. She's a huge help to us with the kids during the week. And this week, Sid, the same exact week, Sid was also on hospital service. So it's been a tough week here at McElroy headquarters,
which is just, which,
West Virginia headquarters.
Can I take that opportunity with those two pieces of information then to sort of springboard from that and remind everyone that we are in a surge of COVID again. I think that has been widely reported. And this would be a great time to consider masking in crowded public spaces. This would be a great time to, if you haven't gotten a COVID vaccine or if you haven't gotten the new COVID vaccine that is now becoming available, it's available in some places. I don't know. It's available some limited places in our area. Your area, you might have more, but it's out there. Go to the CDC website, follow the recommendations. If you haven't gotten it, you should get it. And just be aware that if you have something that feels like a cold, it could be COVID.
You
should get tested and, you know, follow appropriate quarantining guidelines.
Well, if Sydney is done on her soapbox, I would like to move forward with my episode of Sawbones, please. Is that okay?
I'm sorry.
You just kind of decided that was the perfect place for that without really consulting
me. It was high on my mind after an extremely busy, I cannot underline,
out there, y'all.
Busy week of inpatient hospital service that I have just finished, where our hospital was overflowing.
Even if you think the flu's not a big deal, don't take the risk of getting yourself in the hospital right now. It's not good out there.
Right. Well, because, I mean, it's not all COVID, of course.
Yeah.
There's lots of different reasons, but then when you pile on a lot of respiratory illnesses. So anyway, take care of yourselves.
So today I'm dipping into our third and final chapter in the Marvel Anatomy series. Thank you, as always, to Mark Sumerak and Daniel Wallace and illustrator Jonah Loeb for their pioneering work on this tome. At this point, I have covered most of the anatomical concerns of this book.
Anatomical concerns.
And now I am moving into a chapter that I think of as like ephemera, by which I mean this is just stuff that I'm going to talk to you about comic books and medicine, because you didn't have time to research a show, so it's my show, and I'm just going to kind of hold you prisoner and talk to you about stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
Let's talk about Throg.
Who?
Throg. Briefly, about Throg.
Throg?
Can you describe Throg?
Oh, it's a frog, but it looks like Thor. It's Thor Frog. I get it. It's Thor Frog.
Okay.
And by looks like Thor, I mean dress like Thor. Like, it looks like a frog.
This is going to sound like a quiz, but these aren't a quiz that Sid could have any idea the answers for. So I'm more asking her to theorize, not really putting her on the spot with any of this stuff, because who knows? And it's all made up. Sid, is Throg a frog or a bewitched human? Is he a bewitched frog or a bewitched human?
I mean, he looks like a frog. Like, he looks – how big is he? Scale. Like – is he human-sized?
He's more like frog-sized.
Oh, he's frog-sized?
Yeah.
So he's a frog?
Yeah, it's unknown.
I mean, he looks like a frog, and he's frog-sized. I don't know what—I mean, I can dress a frog like a human and it doesn't make it a human. I don't know if I could dress a frog like a human.
Look at his anatomy. Jump. Can you see his organs in his body? It's amazing. All of his human organs in his body.
I didn't know where I was looking. Why do you think those are human organs?
I have no idea.
They're just organs.
Does that look like a human?
I mean, I see. Doesn't look exactly. I mean, I see what appears to be a heart, mm-hmm. and that I'm assuming is a lung over there. I don't know. It's very.
It's not. The parts are not labeled.
Solid. Anyway, I mean, it might be lung. Okay. I see the curly intestines on the bottom. Those are definitely intestines.
The answer is no one knows.
So why'd you quiz me on?
It wasn't a quiz. I made it clear it wasn't a quiz before, so that wouldn't seem like a trap.
You're gonna have to tell me that it has special powers or abilities, because right now what you just said is, if I took our cat and dressed her as a human, would she be a human now who is like parading as a cat, or would she still be a cat who's just dressed like a human? And she would still be a cat. So does the frog do anything other than be dressed like Thor?
So this is the current theory. My prevailing theory is that Thor was indeed turned into a frog by Loki, as he claimed, unintentionally leaving behind a small sliver of his hammer's enchanted Uru metal once the curse was broken. If an actual frog came across the hammer's fragment and proved worthy enough to lift it, then he might have been imbued with a fraction of Thor's powers. So that's a possibility.
Hold on. Where does the frog feed? Like, does it do things?
It's like Thor stuff.
Like, it does Thor stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's super strong and it can throw its hammer around.
He was still worthy.
And
even when Thor was a frog, he still proved worthy of lifting Mjolnir, or at least a shard of Mjolnir.
So now the frog is always a little bit Thor. It's like a Dr. Donna situation.
Yes, exactly. I wanted to ask also about Howard the Duck really quickly.
I thought these were all like superheroes.
Yeah, Howard Duck is a superhero in a sense, but there's actually nothing interesting about Howard the Duck.
Is he part of the Marvel? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why he like pops into Guardians.
I didn't know that.
See him in there.
I've never seen him in Guardians.
I was going to ask you about.
I've only seen the first of those movies. There's more, right?
Yeah, there's three. You watched the holiday special. That was good, wasn't it?
I did watch the holiday special. And I will tell you, having not seen so many of those movies, like there's so many of that whole world that I don't know anything about, I found plot elements of it a little confusing.
There's a lot going on.
Star-Lord seemed sad.
Yes.
I didn't know why.
It's because not everyone follows his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and they'll be going to hell, and that bums him out. And that is a big problem.
I think you're maybe projecting a bit of the actors.
Yes.
The actors' feelings onto Star-Lord.
I think the same.
The character.
It's true. I think the same thing about Mario and Mr. Jurassic Park. Whatever his name
is. Mr. Jurassic Park.
And Andy Dwyer, sadly. So it is... I know, it's such a hey, listen.
Don't bum me out.
Do you like Cyclops?
He seems fine. I mean,
He's kind of a
butthead, gosh.
Honestly.
I'm going to say this having not seen anything recent that has to do with these characters. I always preferred Wolverine and
You're a bad girl, huh? I love it.
I always thought like, why doesn't Jean Grey stick with Wolverine? But this is the era of X-Men that I am speaking from. So,
honey,
accept that.
Honey, you married the least Wolverine guy that I know. Every man I know is more like Wolverine than myself. I'm a Cyclops. I hate to admit it. It doesn't make me feel good, but I feel like I'm a Cyclops.
Honey, I'm enough Wolverine for both of us.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know Cyclops' power, though, right?
He's got the laser eye. Yeah, so he's got a. Now, are there two eyes under there or one?
It's just one big. No, that would be rad. It's like, actually, here's my thing. One huge eye. No,
well, that's kind of what
the idea is, that the visor is like his one eye. Like,
well, he has to wear it, right?
He does have to wear it. Now, this is now okay. Good. Oh gosh, you're already ahead of the game here. This is fantastic.
Right?
Why?
He can't control it. So, like, if he takes it off, he's just shooting. Eye beams,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. It was rough going until Professor X is like, try these ruby quartz glasses. It was tough at the Cyclops household.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was born this way.
Yes, with his mutant abilities.
Like, did they, as soon as the first time he opened his eyes?
No. this is what's great.
I was going to say, because he would have wiped out everybody in the delivery room in the hospital. And okay, well, probably not the delivery room. He probably didn't open his eyes right away. But like early on, like this, in the hospital. Yes,
while this varies, from my understanding, as an only passing comic book fan, the mutant abilities tend to emerge like during puberty. It's like as you hit your teenage years, that's when your mutant abilities manifest. Now, Cyclops is
a baby with laser eyes.
Sweet.
No, terrifying.
Terrifying. But he can't control them. But why? I didn't know this until I started researching this. Think about like Cyclops and imagine like a person who had incredible laser eyes. Do you know why he can't control it?
No.
He used to be able to.
Oh, he stopped being able to? Mm-hmm. No.
It says he's...
Wait, is there some sort of medical, like, I mean, you can't control your eye... Your visual acuity. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like my visual acuity is very poor, right? Mm-hmm. I'm 2400, mm-hmm, in case you're curious about how well can Sydney see.
Yeah.
2400. So I have to, out in the world, or essentially all the time, wear glasses or contacts. I can't control that. Like, that got worse as I got older. My visual acuity got less and less and less. And I can't, like, will it different. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have exercised in some way to control it better. Is that why?
Is it the
same idea?
Head injury.
Oh, okay. So,
you know, these are incredibly powerful blasts, right? One of Cyclops' full power blasts can puncture an inch-thick steel plate at close range and travel as far as 2 kilometers with proportionately diminished effects. Now, Sydney.
Can it go through lead?
It's not super... How can such... Now, this is my question to you,
okay? I was just curious.
How can such a force be generated inside Cyclops' skull cavity without pulverizing his cranial matter? It's wild if you think about it, right? There's concussive blasts.
What is the laser made out of?
Concussive force energy.
So it's not photons? It's not a...
It is...
It's not a light laser.
It is only described as concussive energy, concussive force beams.
Okay,
and the word
why
concussive is right in there, but he doesn't get a concussion. He doesn't scramble his brain.
So they're waves, not particles?
They are...
Why can we...
energy.
Okay. Why can we see it?
Because it would be weird in the comics. So, well, okay. The practical answer is that maybe the glasses make it red, but it's always been red even when he's not wearing the glasses.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, why doesn't it turn his brains to mush?
I gotta just tell you because it's
so
wild.
I know. I can't even. I mean, like, I'm sitting here trying to, like, stretch my creative medical whatever
One
that
theory,
is.
Yeah, listen, I could stretch my absolute nonsense muscles as far as I can get them, and it still wouldn't get here.
I thought it was a light laser. Like, I thought, I mean, we're talking about different forms of energy now.
The presence? Okay.
Can I just say, by the way, physics is not my area. I'm apologizing to listeners. Like, I like the gushy stuff. I like the oozy stuff.
Is this what it's like to try to get through a show?
Want everybody to know, I like the gushy oozy. I'm a biology person. Chemistry can get up in there, too. Physics, I'm weak there. That's my weakness.
This isn't for you.
Okay.
Every other episode is for you.
Go ahead.
One theory I've considered is that Cyclops' eyes act as a miniature dimensional portals, allowing instantaneous access to an alternate reality rife with concussive energy.
I would never have guessed that.
Within his eyes, the presence of ocular retroreflectors, similar to those used by nocturnal mammals for light amplification, could potentially cycle the ever-present concussive energy through amplifying tissue, perhaps optical crystalline of the type used for laser amplification, until Cyclops releases the energy in a focused blast. Now, admittedly, continual reflection of concussive force beams could result in internal trauma or perceptual disorientation, but perhaps there are biological safeguards in place I've yet to discern.
When you say I have yet to discern, who is that?
The author.
Who is I? Oh, the author.
The
has yet
author
to
of this book not is not, no, in fiction, the kayfabe is that it's Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, he's studying.
Because the use of first person there really threw me for a second.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
Okay, well, I would never have guessed that. And also, again, like multidimensional theory isn't exactly my area of expertise.
Listen, it really threw me for a loop too.
But is there a, are we presupposing there's a dimension that is just,
this is what I like the most
about it. A bunch
of
concussive energy and that's it?
It's a bad dimension.
I'm assuming there's no living things.
No, just a bunch of groovy concussive force blasts that he's always tapped into. That would be a wild, yes, that's, yes.
Can you imagine what, like, butterfly effect, what choices would we have had to make differently?
Yeah.
To create the world of just concussive energy?
If this is World War Clay Aiken lost American Idol, and then it just spiraled out of control from there.
I thought he did lose. No, I thought he did lose.
Well, then it's World War Clay Aiken won. He was always a winner in my heart.
I mean, I know he has gone on to have a very successful career, but I didn't think he won.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that was so long ago.
My mom loved Clay Aiken.
I loved Clay Aiken.
Okay.
And also everybody's mom did love Clay Aiken,
that's true.
I think.
He was like, yeah. Okay, do you know about Beast? You know Beast? Big blue cat?
Yeah, I know about Beast.
He's not a cat. He's a big blue guy.
No, he's a big blue guy, and he's smart.
He's super
right?
smart. That you can tell because he's played by Kelsey Grammer in the original films.
Well—
Hey baby, I hear the blues. Yeah.
Yeah, we could debate Kelsey Grammer all day. Let's not do that.
Get this. Hey baby, I hear the blues a calling.
Oh, so maybe that was a reference. Maybe that was a reference. I'm just saying there's more to smart than like being able to play chess or whatever, listening to classical music. There's some other things.
Okay, Sid, Beast, his hearing overlaps with infrasonic and ultrasonic wavelengths far beyond the human range of 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. Now, from what you know of Beast, which is that he's blue, how would you guess that that happens?
That his hearing is so good?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are other animals who have better hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that he's Beast, I don't know what kind of animal Beast is, like, in addition to human.
He is a man, Sydney. Well, he's a man.
Like, he's, but we call him Beast.
If you prick him.
The connotation is that, like, he's something else, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if we start to theorize that, like, he also has elements of, like, the inner ear structure of some sort of animal that has better hearing. Well, I mean, bats have, like, sonar and stuff, right?
Beast's ears contain more than three times the number of muscles in a normal human ear, allowing him to reposition them for maximum auditory reception.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because there are animals that have better, right? Like, dogs hear sounds we don't hear.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even have to go into, like, outside, like, within the mammalian world, there are better ears than ours, although our ears are great.
This is, so Beast also has much better vision than us, much sharper, mm-hmm. and can see in a greater light range. How do you think that's achieved?
More rods and cones.
increased nerve density in his retinas account for his ability to collect sharper images. But his eyes are similar. If you look at his eyes
shape?
Look, see the eyes right there with the pupil?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to think about it again. Gosh, we keep getting into physics. You just have to think about, like, the shape and size of the eye and its ability to, like, focus, reflect light and focus on distance.
It's so
kind of like a camera.
His eyes are similar to that of feline pupils. This is just true, which I think is wilder than Marvel fiction, unless mm-hmm. we're talking about how Cyclops' eyes work, which is the wildest thing I've ever read. Beast's eyes are similar to those of a domestic cat with vertical slits that can open and close with remarkable speed. Studies have shown that feline pupils are more than 20 times more responsive than human eyes when changing between constricted and dilated states, allowing for superior night vision.
Hmm.
So Beast's eyes work in a similar fashion, as we understand.
That makes sense, because he's other animal than human. It makes a lot more
sense than some of the things in this book, I will say.
Are you going to tell me more about Beast, or are we moving on?
We're moving on.
Okay, well, before we move on.
Don't you dare.
Yeah, it's time to go to the billing
You're
department.
Not allowed to do that. I'll do it. Well, okay. Sydney, I'm going to tell you about our next hero, and boy, you're just going to love it. This one's a lady doctor, and she loves gardening. And this is just a great one.
It's me.
Yeah, you're going to be so excited to hear about it. Are you ready to hear about
it? I'm ready.
Tough Nuggies, because we're going to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the
mouth.
I think staying connected is really one of the best gifts that you can give during this holiday season. And I think Aura Frames is a really good way of doing that. Here's what you do. It's a digital photo frame. You set it up for the intended recipient, or they can set it up themselves, you know, if they're a little bit more tech savvy. But once that's done, you are able to send pictures onto that photo frame from anywhere wirelessly through the Aura app. So imagine this, you set it up for grandma, and then you capture a picture of the kids at the zoo. Maybe there's five dolphins. You're like, holy crap, grandma loves dolphins. She's going to love this picture. Well, she could be seeing it just by uploading it directly to her frame. Even if grandma's already got one, what if she needs a second one in the toilet? Or it doesn't have to be in there. It could be anywhere. But imagine that. You get beautiful designs from Aura range from, like, I just saw the new Carver mat that it's new to me. I got a new Carver mat frame. It's really beautiful. I like all the designs, and I think you will too. Not just for you, though. Maybe it's a gift. But you know what? Grab one for yourself. You're going to be jealous. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver mat frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners, and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. You've probably heard about HelloFresh in the past. It's a huge meal kit in America, the number one meal kit in America. But this fall, they're serving up even more love. Folks, this isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's new. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. You can also, if you're into veggies, you can eat greener with some new veggie-packed recipes that have two or more veggies per dish. That's, I gotta say, folks, that's ambitious for me. I think a two-veggie meal, I'd be feeling pretty darn good about myself. I really like this new offering from HelloFresh. All these options, you are definitely going to find some stuff that you love. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus a free breakfast for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only, varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus free breakfast for life.
Hi, this is Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cation. And we have a podcast called The Jackie and Lori Show on Max Fun. And it's very exciting because what do we talk about?
Comedy.
Stand-up comedy. We both do stand-up comedy and have since the dawn of Christ.
Well, Jackie.
Is that offensive?
It is offensive to me because you've aged me. we started in the late 80s and we're still here. You can't kill us.
So go to The Jackie and Lori Show on Max Fun and listen to that.
The Jackie and Lori Show. New episodes Monday, only on MaximumFun.org.
Greatest Trek is the podcast for all your modern Star Trek needs. It's funny, informative, and now it's also timely.
That's because every Friday, right after the release of a new episode of Strange New Worlds, Picard, Lower Decks, Discovery, or Prodigy, we bring you a review of that episode.
There's some great new Star Trek coming up, and we're going to cover all of it.
You'll like our show because we're both former video producers, so we bring a lot of insight into the production and filmmaking aspects to these episodes.
And we also have a very refined sense of humor, so we make lots of delightful fart jokes along the way.
So come see why Greatest Trek is one of the most popular television recap podcasts on all of the internet.
Subscribe to Greatest Trek at MaximumFun.org or in the podcast app you're using right now.
Colossus. Do you know Colossus?
Oh, I feel like I should.
You would know him. He's a big Russian guy.
I was going to say, I bet he's big.
He's a big Russian guy. Here's Colossus. He's a big Russian guy, and his thing is metal skin.
I was going to say, he looks scary. He looks like a robot.
Yeah, he's not, though. He's a man. As I have to keep reminding you about mutants, they're people just like us. Well, they're Homo superior, but you get the idea. They're not.
So he's not. Okay, so his metal skin is not the result of, like, android or, like, partial human, partial something else. You know what I'm saying?
No. Now, this is confusing because Wolverine's adamantium bones are the result of that as right. his the Weapon X testing.
Right. They and Cyborg is a machine and man combined.
Yeah. Cyborg?
Yeah.
That's in DC. What are you even talking about?
Well, I've just, you know,
Colossus.
But like, this is not that. I'm trying to like clarify, like this isn't, this is like Terminator 2.
Yeah. this exactly, no, Terminator 2 was all liquid metal. You're talking about the T-2000?
Yeah.
That was all liquid metal. Colossus just coats his body in metal.
Well, because that was still made.
Yes.
This is some, that he was born this way.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Now, this is it's a thin layer of organic metal. He does not breathe in this state, which is interesting, which makes Black Panther think that his skin might be permeable to oxygen, like oxygen may be able to get through.
Mm.
So when Pietor transforms into Colossus, how does that happen?
How does his skin become metal?
I think, yes.
Well,
he doubles his weight.
I don't know how that's possible.
Interestingly, and I don't know why this wouldn't occur to you, he is likely unconsciously drawing from a store of mass located in an alternate dimension.
Of course it's an alternate dimension. I was going to say
a metal skin.
I mean, because I could again, like, is he able to mobilize, because we have metals in our body, right? Like, we know yeah. that. We know that there are trace metals, and then, you know, there's iron in there. Like, we know there's metal. And so, like, is he drawing from all the various sources of metal to the surface of his skin? No.
No.
He's drawing from an alternate dimension.
Can you look at this?
I wouldn't have guessed that again.
There's a really grody cross section of Colossus's, I think it's his leg. Can you look at that diagram
and
just
I mean, I guess it is.
It's the prime. It's the fact that it's like a slice.
It does look like a steak. It looks like they made a steak out of his leg.
It's like a vertical slice of Colossus or horizontal slice of Colossus steak. How's the diagram looking pretty
How's
good?
How's the diagram? So what do we have like a, it looks like a steak.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of the steak, we have the bone. So like the round part, roundish. It's a femur. So, you know, it's femur shape, but it's a cross section of a femur. And in the middle of the femur is bone marrow, which is. That's right.
Yeah.
We got bone marrow in the bones.
Yeah.
So that's all right. And then around that is some like, it looks again like steak, just like red, but with like the fat through it and everything. And it says muscles and ligaments is how that's.
That's accurate, right?
Yeah. So like that's all. That's how that's labeled. And then outside of it, where you would see like the skin.
Or epidermis.
Is a metal layer. And it says organic steel skin. This is not,
that's
this doesn't
accurate.
Tell you much.
No, yeah.
Well, it doesn't, I mean, I don't know what it's, that's, what am I supposed to know? Like.
I do enjoy the extent to which it looks like a Colossus steak, though.
I would like to make that into a cake, like we had to do with cells in school. Remember when you had to make a cell into a cake? Or actually what they told you to do was make a model of a cell and everybody made a cake.
Yeah, I did that.
Everybody, did. I did it too. Fun. We all made cakes.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to talk about Deadpool, and I'll just read directly. I don't have a question here. I'm just going to read about this. Super awesomeness factor. Sure, Deadpool's healing factor can patch him back together once he's been diced up into itty-bitty pieces.
Oh, he can heal really fast?
But his most important power wasn't stolen from a hairy little Canadian. This one he was born with, charm. The guy's just oozing with it, and he can pretty much convince anybody to do anything with just a wink and a smile. That's harder with a full face mask, but he's still working on the details. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that Deadpool is a lovable scamp who is welcome in Wakanda whenever he wants to act. Hey.
I don't think he wrote
this
that.
This was written by Deadpool.
I think Deadpool wrote that.
Deadpool got into this book somehow.
No.
You can tell the font is all wild. Hey. This guy is irascible.
Okay, but can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is charm something that Deadpool has a lot of?
I mean, yeah, he's the merc with a mouth.
Does he use it to manipulate others?
Yeah.
And get what he wants?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, because I think what you could say is, like, that's not necessarily a superpower or, like, a mutant ability. Like, there are people who are good at social engineering,
mm-hmm.
who are really good at, like, reading others and then mm-hmm. adapting to what they need in that moment in order to get a... I mean, like what we're edging into are some of the aspects of like sociopathy.
Yes, right.
Now that has to be coupled with like, does Deadpool have a conscience? Deadpool, like, does he feel guilt, you know, or experience empathy? I don't know. I don't know those things.
So Deadpool has, you know, he can heal himself, much like Wolverine. Mm-hmm. But it says here that damaged neurons within Deadpool's brain are regrown and replaced, but the new synaptic connections formed may result in obscured memories and altered thought processes. I think that's interesting that the brain can regrow with a mutant healing factor, but it's even a mutant healing factor can't regrow it in exactly the same way. You know what I mean? I just think that that's interesting to think about because the brain is so complex.
It's also kind of like I think you could, okay, to get deep for a second. Okay. I think it's kind of a lovely metaphor too for like Deadpool is someone who, because of his job, I'm assuming has experienced some trauma.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I don't know his backstory. Is it a traumatic backstory?
It's not great. It's not great.
Well, then, I mean, I think that that's like kind of a nice way of like making a comic book version of how after we've been through trauma, yes, we can continue to, you know, grow and change and function and have wonderful lives, but like our brains are permanently changed by that. Like the way we think and process information will always be different.
Yeah.
And that's not bad per se.
No, just like Deadpool.
It shouldn't be stigmatizing, but it is something to recognize as you move on through your journey in life that your brain is a little different because of that experience. I think that's kind of lovely.
I have to show you, there's a part I've circled here. Do you know Mystique? Mystique is one of the...
Yeah, I know that one from the movies.
Okay, Rebecca Romijn was Mystique. And somebody else. All these have two actors because they've done like multiple generations with First Class and everything.
What?
But I know the old ones because I'm an old person. Mystique's power?
Yeah, no, I remember she's blue and she turns into other people.
Yes, yes. So
I thought it was Jennifer Lawrence.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, Jennifer Lawrence,
and then she was the young Mystique, and then older Mystique was Rebecca Romijn, which I'm sure Rebecca Romijn was just wild about.
Yeah, you just said older Mystique. Yeah, that's great.
So I just want to real quick, rather than tell you about this, I just want to hand over this diagram, and I've circled a part for you to specifically...
Okay, so we've got a picture of Mystique, and basically it all looks like Mystique except for we're looking inside her body at her heart is in her left upper thigh. The vessels are all kind of wonky too, but whatever. And are those her intestines over in her left upper arm and shoulder?
And what does the text say, Sid?
Mystique's control over her anatomical structure allows her to shift the placement of her internal organs to avoid fatal injury. So she moved her intestines into her arm, which...
I think it is kind of interesting.
There are exit points, though, for the intestines. So if you're going to move the intestines into the arm, where is the new exit point?
Right.
Because there are little pink tubes that are sort of going up her throat there, so you can imagine the entrance point has remained the same. There's her mouth, but the exit point is not diagrammed and is unclear.
One would hope that before she has to make a BM, she'll move it back.
Why is her heart? Now I'm gonna say, like, putting your heart in your thigh. I think that's honey.
I think that's her brain.
That is not her brain,
honey. I think that's her brain. Look where it's connecting up to. She's moved her brain down into her arm. Why would it be a fatal injury? See, she's moved her heart and brain. This is where you get a fatal injury.
But her brain got long and squishy, long and smoosh.
It's in her arm, honey. How else is it going to fit?
That's a brain?
I think that's a brain.
It looks all coiled up like a small intestine.
So, yeah, but I think it's a brain.
Those are worse. Like, you're going to get injured, like your leg. And also, she's not wearing clothes on the leg. Her leg is unclothed even.
I think the idea, and this is what I'm trying to parse out, is a situation where... my head is here, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some sort of damage coming towards my head. I'm trying to imagine a situation where it is faster for me to scoop my brain down or just like...
Duck.
Just like not get hit.
Or throw your arm up in front of your face.
Something.
Okay, can I just say,
Okay, say anything you want.
Now, I see this is weird to me because a lot of stuff has kind of played with like the way the human body really works, and then we sort of expand on that. Here's what I'm going to say. Your heart sits inside something called your rib cage.
Yes.
We call it that because it kind of looks like a cage made of bone,
right.
Your ribs, right? The reason that it's constructed that way, I mean, in part it gives a shape. There's lots of reasons. But part of it is that it protects the vital structures inside of it, your heart and lungs. Mm-hmm. So it's a good place for internal organs to be because they're very protected. What cage do you have in your upper thigh? None. So if you get like stabbed in your upper thigh, it's going right in there to everything important.
It's
whereas like you've got some like protection in your chest. Moreover, your brain sits inside your skull, which is an incredibly, like, it's a collection of heavy, thick bones. Well, not all of them are, but like the ones up around the brain are really thick and tough. It's why like when your kid bonks their head for the 50th time.
It's fine.
Well, I mean, generally speaking, you don't freak out because like your brains are well protected. She has moved her organs to more vulnerable places in that picture is what I'm saying.
I'd like to talk to you about the Inhumans before we close.
Okay.
And the Inhumans are crappy. And they had a movie and I don't care because I think the Inhumans are stupid.
I don't know anything about them.
Well, then just briefly, here's
I will
Black
say
Panther
that
research.
The Inhumans is kind of like, I don't love that name.
Well, they are, it is, so they're the result of Kree advanced spacefaring race. They're the result of Kree experiments performed, they hate the Skrull. It's like Kree is a Captain Marvel Kree. Result of Kree experiments performed on primitive humans approximately 25,000 years ago. The Kree's test subjects became a new branch of the human species that was far more powerful and adaptable, provided they were exposed to a highly specific environmental trigger during adolescent physical development. The unique ritual can be known as teragenesis. So they inhale the teragen mist, and it changed their baseline in human DNA to new proteins begin to form on a strand of inhuman DNA after exposure to vapors produced by teragen crystals. Okay.
I don't even know how they read those.
So that is what the inhumans are.
The ribosomal structure must be different.
They are crappy. I just wanted to tell you briefly about some of the inhumans because they're all so crappy. The first is Black Bolt, and he's the king of the Inhumans. But if he talks, then he releases incredible destructive force. The faintest whisper from Black Bolt generates enough force to rock a battleship. With a high decibel scream, can decimate an entire city. So, aren't there
kind of like Black Canary?
Yeah, but like better, like way more powerful. Oh. He creates the powers, okay, by producing particles in a part of his brain, and those interact with ambient electrons to produce a wide variety of powers. What part of the brain do you think these particles are created in?
Like to make sound?
Particles produced...
I mean, in your auditory or in your verbal processing, like in Broca's area.
Whoa, ladies and gentlemen, tell her what she's won. Particles produced in Black Bolt's Broca's area, the region of the cerebellum that controls speech, interact with a variety of electrons to produce a wide variety of powers. Honey, I know this isn't a quiz, but you did get that one right. I'm so proud of you.
Are you proud of me?
I am so proud of you.
Are you impressed with how much brain knowledge I have?
So I just want you to, I'm also creating a case against the Inhumans and why they're so crappy. Mm-hmm. So that guy, you can agree, that sucks, right? But that is the man of the man leader, the male leader, Black Bolt of the Inhumans, his power is that with a single word from his mouth, he can level a city, he can rewrite.
Does he also tap into a different dimension?
No, he creates particles in his Broca's area. Try to keep up.
I really like, though, like, at some point somebody said, we're playing real fast and loose with, like, Newtonian physics here. Like, can you create, matter cannot be, you know, created or destroyed. And, like, how are we creating matter wholesale within these people. And so they found this loophole where they're like, well, they're tapping into another dimension where the matter is coming from. So we're not creating the matter. We're just pulling matter from somewhere else. But in this case, we're just making.
I want to make this point. So that's Black Bolt, the leader of the Inhumans, the king of the Inhumans. But let's meet the queen of the Inhumans, Sydney. What do you think the queen of the Inhumans' power is?
I couldn't even begin to.
Total hair control. The queen of the Inhumans' superpower is incredible hair.
What year was this?
Medusa's hair shafts are approximately 5 times thicker than human hair, with internal fibrous structures analogous to steel cable. Strands of individual hair can be bundled together, reinforcing each to a point where she is able to use them to lift loads exceeding 1.6 tons.
I mean,
the king of the Inhumans levels a city with a shot. The queen of the Inhumans, fantastic hair.
Well, but I'm assuming she can, like, knock things over with her hair and capture people, probably kill people with her hair if it's, like, steel cables.
Yeah, but, like,
she'll probably decapitate you with her hair.
But you know they're not real, and so they're made up by probably a man, and a man is, like, king, super voice, levels the city with a single word, so powerful. Queen, super hair. Moving on.
I know. I mean, it definitely feels sexist to me.
The very next.
It is a little fabulous, but it is sexist.
Yes.
But a little fabulous.
The very next Inhuman in this crappy collection of characters is Triton. That's Black Bolt's cousin. This is Triton. He's a fish man. He looks like
He looks like a fish.
He looks like Mr. Shape of Water. He's got.
He does look like Mr. Shape of Water.
Now he has enhanced.
Did they talk about his, you know?
His jumble.
Like we talk about in The Shape of Water?
No.
That was a weird moment in that movie. Did not expect that.
Yeah. Now, I just want to talk about, so he prefers it underwater, right? He has to be in water. He has an external water circulation system that he uses when he's outside because he's got to be in water. Thanks a lot, Terra Genesis.
Oh, so he like wears a suit with water in it?
But where a lot of these
aqua socks,
a lot of these cats have increased night vision, but Triton has increased underwater vision.
I thought you were gonna say day vision.
He has increased day vision. He can see anything in the daytime, no problem. Other people are like too bright, he's like perfect.
But so he has increased underwater vision, that's too bad because we have goggles, so like we can keep up.
Yeah.
That's not.
But how?
We can master that one.
He has
that superpower.
He has much better.
Much better than goggles?
Yeah, how? How?
He has little windshield wipers on his
eyes. Hey, you're being silly. This is anatomy, okay? This is real. This is serious.
Does he have like an extra film over his eyes like that focuses light better, like, because I mean that's part of it, like you've got to find light sources while you're underwater, and the deeper you go the less, so like in order to see there has to be light, so is he able to like focus light sources better somehow, pick up on light more efficiently?
He has increased quantities of L and M cones in his retina, which significantly boosts his perception of the green portion of the light spectrum, which enhances his underwater vision.
Okay.
And I don't have anything to say about Gorgon, the next Inhuman, but look at this dork.
I'm assuming that's just the diagram is why his leg looks that way.
He doesn't always run around with his muscles hanging out. He just has goat legs. And the next one's like, the next Inhuman is Lockjaw, a big dog. I mean.
He's just a big dog?
He's just a big dog with a magic fork in
his
head.
Is he a human that turned into a dog, or is he just a big dog?
No, he's the result of inhuman experiments on canines.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think this is all very sad. I feel like this is sad, this storyline.
Yeah. All the inhumans are stupid.
I feel bad for them.
I feel the way about the inhumans that you feel about most comic books. I think the inhumans are crappy. Sorry.
Well, I don't feel that way about most comic books.
That's true.
It's not, I don't think they're crappy.
No, I think they're goofy. I think the humans are goofy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't take them seriously.
I do think some comic books are good, but I mean, I read Archie, so like, I'm not going to sit here and throw shade on anybody. Sydney, like
Sydney, as always, you've proven yourself to be a wonderful sport. Thank you again to the Marvel Anatomy book. Because it, oh, good, our cat has just shut the door on us. That's normal. Thanks for listening to our show. Thanks to the taxpayers for using our song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. Hey, this is a rarity, but you want to come see us perform live? You absolutely can.
Yeah, if we never get to do that anymore. I'm excited.
On, I know. If you head on over to bit.ly/McElroy tour, you can purchase tickets to our October 13th show with Sawbones opening. And that is going to be in conjunction with New York Comic Con, but you do not need a badge. You can just get tickets and come on out to see it October 13th. So let's go, please. Did I thank the taxpayers?
Not yet.
Thanks to the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. That's going to do it for us for this week. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.